Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Hey there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am thrilled to invite you to Rachel Uncensored, my podcast where I get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics. From personal stories to hot button issues, we cover it all. New episodes drop every Wednesday, so make sure you tune in on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.
Welcome to a very special episode of Fireteam Chat. I'm your host, Destin Legarry. Joining me today is CJ Gibson.
What's up?
Fran Mirabella.
Hey, Guardians.
And PC Duggan.
Hello.
And the reason the show is special is because Duggan is here to talk about...
You can stop there, because Duggan is here.
That's it.
Talk about the PC version of Destiny 2.
Yeah.
You saw it. I've got to watch the footage. And oh my God, it looks so good.
Embargo's up.
Yeah, embargo is up. We're going to get actually right into it. Duggan, let's talk about the visual fidelity of the PC version. Wow. It looks really good.
It looks really good.
Wow.
It looks really good.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. Owen Wilson, wow. It looks really good. It feels really good. In terms of performance, and obviously people are going to pick this apart like crazy as soon as the game is live tomorrow, if you're watching this as soon as it goes up. It looks amazing. It runs uncapped. If you have VSync on, you can run it at 30. I don't know why you would. If you have a lower end rig, or you can run it at 60. And that obviously locks the frame rate, but keeps VSync on. And with this VSync, I feel there's a very low input latency compared to some other games, other shooters where you turn on VSync and just immediately you're like, oh, turning that off.
Yeah. Well, hold up. Let's talk about that 30 frames per second thing.
Sure.
One thing they did reconfirm is that Xbox One X 30.
So yes.
All consoles will be at 30.
Yes. They reconfirmed by dodging the question real hard. We had a round table with the developers, the developers who were working expressly on the PC port and obviously collaborating with the main Destiny team. But there was a question asked about Xbox One X, and now that they have all these optimizations that they've done for the PC version, made it run at
60. Reasonable question.
Yeah, all these things. If that is going to somehow change, because the Xbox One X is above their minimum recommended requirements for running Destiny 2 on PC.
Mm-hmm.
So will we see it at 60 FPS? Probably not in the near future. They said we have nothing to announce at this time. So
How they dodged the question. It was basically like, it seems like you can get it running at 60. Are you going to do it? And they were like, we have nothing
PR
to announce
guy stepped
at this
in,
time.
Stepped in front of
hey,
the panel.
Group.
And they were like, hey, everybody, that's going to be a negative. They didn't say no. They didn't say flat out no. They just said we had nothing to announce at this time.
Right.
So the assumption
right.
that
right. Boiler.
Yeah, we're not going to talk about that.
Yeah,
sorry.
I did not expect any news. I'm still bummed that they can't just kind of come out and clarify it. It's such a touchy subject.
It's going to run at 30. They've said it multiple times.
But there are other factors. You can't have that system running at 60 playing against people at 30, but like they don't want to talk about it. I think it makes it very challenging.
He threw a firecracker when we asked. He was like,
look at that.
A flashbang out the door.
So back to the performance and the way it feels on PC. The mouse and keyboard feels superb. The only thing that does not seem like it was changed for the PC version is the map, which as soon as the way that you move the map is by bringing the cursor up to the top and it slowly drags up. It's like very unintuitive. Everything else, I have nothing but positive things to say, in terms of the way it looks and feels. I thought, it runs obviously very well.
You mistakenly use hand cannons for the majority of your capture.
So I'm claiming it right here, right now. Let's cut to my single. Okay. Hand cannon meta for the PC. That's what it's going to be. It's going to be
heard.
Hand cannon SMG.
Still?
And if you think I'm crazy and people are going to be using Mida, just wait.
No.
I could be wrong.
No, this I've heard this a number of times. Everybody said, because I didn't get a chance to play the multiplayer PC beta, and they're like, you know, Minuet, Devils, Better Devils was destroying. And I'm like, that is not the case in the console beta or for the console game. Yeah. For that matter.
So it is weird because
I did see the footage. Duggan is pretty good at PC games, though.
And the beta was kind of like that, which I remember having the hand cannon conversation super early in Destiny 2's release. And I was like, they're pretty good. I was remembering the PC beta, I think.
I know.
I didn't know that that was going to keep, though. So that's great news. Yeah, I think people are thirsty to use those hand cannons.
Why is that, though?
Boy, I wish I could answer, because it's not like the damage fall-off numbers are different. In fact, I asked expressly, will weapons be tuned for the PC version in the way anybody who plays Overwatch knows that, like, Torbjorn is weaker in...
Sure, it's an Overwatch reference. That's why it was.
It's not a gas station. anybody who plays Torbjorn on the console version knows that his turrets are weaker because it's much harder to do like a quick 180 snap and see a turret and shoot it. So the fact that that has auto aim gives it a big advantage on console. But they said they want one game. And so basically the answer was leaning towards no. And certainly everything in the game right now, the only stats that you're not going to be seeing, the hidden stat, the aim assist stat for weapons, and then secondarily the recoil is much lower across all weapons unless you plug in a controller, in which case it reverts that recoil number back up and gives you the aim assist, which is unchanged from beta, which is a big thing that people will want to talk about and know more about. But we'll get into that later. Yeah. Let's focus on the positives, though, which are... It looks and feels superb on a mouse and keyboard. I played it, except when I plugged it in a controller to see if there was still aim assist. I played it all on mouse and keyboard. It felt great. There was nothing felt awkward about it, and they did a really good job. The developers were saying that they went back to the drawing board with the control scheme. They tried to do this kind of like lazy port from the controller over to mouse and keyboard, and it didn't feel good. Mm. So they spent months and months and months refining the way it looked and felt to play on PC.
You played the beta. I mean, does it feel different? Or in other words, like, it already felt great.
It already
the beta.
Felt great, yeah.
Did you have a new impression, though, where you're like, or are you just saying it still felt
my
great?
My new impression, I guess, was like trying some of the abilities I didn't get to try in the beta, playing on the maps I didn't, and then just mobbing around the open world and doing whatever I wanted, whether it was summoning my sparrow and flying off or whatever. It all felt very good.
Yeah, and having played so much of Destiny 2 now, which is very different than when we were playing it before.
Well, let's talk about rigs, because I have a Ryzen CPU build with a Titan. And
boy,
have an Intel. You played on an Intel
rig. Yes, I played on an Intel. Yeah. It was an i7-7700 something. Anyway.
Yep. DXDiag, probably in your preview.
Yeah, it was a very good rig. I did the run DXDiag, and they were running on a 1080 Ti, and it was running at times at 170 frames per second VSync turned off.
1080p?
4K.
4K, and it was running out.
But that was like menus.
With VSync off, okay. Did you get pairing at all?
I really didn't notice it, but when you're up in the 140-50 category, things get much harder.
So fast.
Yeah. In fact, I have a clip. I think I recorded it. Maybe I can dig it up for when this gets edited, but I was like, I'm going to play like this, and I was shaking my mouse around, and I could still see everything because the FPS was so high.
Yeah.
So I was really impressed with the port. In fact, kind of calling it a port is a little bit of a dirty word. On that front, it was great. There were some negatives, though, and they were kind of mind-boggling from somebody who has a history.
Hmm. Destiny 2 is gorgeous on PC. Negative talk time.
Comma, but, dot, dot, dot. There's some things that you should know. And the first thing that I want to talk about is the chat. So text chat is obviously something that you cannot do unless you get that weird peripheral for the Xbox, which I don't even know exists.
Yeah. Or you just type it in.
Like quick in-game chat.
So you would imagine, as somebody who's played, can't not say it, World of Warcraft, a lot.
I played World of Warcraft for the first time the other day. It's like
or PUBG.
I feel like I've played that game a lot.
And many of the thousands of other games out there. That
any kind of social space, well, it has open mics, but any kind of social space, Baron's chat is infamous, chatting in a city, linking your gear, people spamming guild recruitments, things like that. You will be blown away to know that there is not only no general chat in the text, but in the build I played and probably for the launch build, there's also no clan chat, which seems like a huge missed opportunity, especially the latter. They had good reasons to omit a general chat. But I think the trade-off there is not worth what you stand to gain, because there's this whole joke about the friend game and how it's an avenue through which to connect with players, to emergently meet these players, and to then befriend them and forge a lifelong connection where you're going to be playing all these different games together. But how do I do that?
However,
what's the workflow for that?
You said there is a whisper thing you can opt into.
So yes, you can go into your settings and you can change your whispers. You have to go in and toggle your whispers on so you can receive whispers from people who are not in your friends list or in your clan. And secondarily to that, you actually have to hit enter to bring up the chat window. We can be in a fire team and I can be like, Destin, move, you're going to die. And you will not see it unless you hit enter. It will blip a little bit in the bottom right-hand corner. Mm. But again, it's the whole minimal HUD thing. So
you can't set it to on?
Maybe you can. I didn't check that, but right. I didn't
you
see
also
that.
Have to enter your Wii friend code.
Dear
so
God.
It's part of that.
So yeah, so the question is, how do you go about making friends? And when I talked to Deej about it, he thought I was being sarcastic initially when I said, I can't believe this game has no general chat. It seems like a missed opportunity. And as somebody who's a community manager and obviously dealing with a lot of negative player interactions, I understand that context. But I think for every one negative player interaction that happens, I do think that there are missed opportunities for people to be doing the core of Destiny, which is this emergent shared world. I see somebody. I want to be their friend or be in their group. I would have to approach them, figure out their username, type it in. Before they fly away.
So the way it works right now on Xbox and PlayStation is you find somebody in the open world, you select their name, you send them a message via that platform. That functionality didn't exist on PC?
You can't like just click on a character?
You know, I'm not sure about that. I think you have to /W. It does obviously interface with Battle.net. It may be as simple as going up and
getting the prompt tactile stuff. But even then, you're sending requests, and it's not.
Yeah, but in any instance, it's a missed opportunity.
General
for the
chat,
it's
not open. Should be implemented.
General chat should be implemented, and absolutely, clan chat needs to be implemented.
You know, that one's a little crazy.
So here's the thing. I mean, now I'm playing a lot. I mean, right now on console, I want to switch to PC. I use Discord a lot too. I don't know if
please join our Discord. I'm going to leave comments. Join
last week. It was our
fire team chat. Yeah,
on YouTube.
If you're in the IGN clan. You better respond again. I'm looking for you. It's okay. It's just hard to get a hold of everybody, to James' point.
Yeah.
So,
for that though, like I've been using Discord a lot. I mean, I don't know if you guys do, but it seems odd to not have that maybe directly in the game. But for the most part, this device is right here on your body all the time. Like, do you not? Like, could you see yourself using that more so than Discord, for instance?
The clan chat?
Yeah,
absolutely. I mean, it's in the game.
Not for
it would be, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah. So, like,
clan chat not being in the game is kind of crazy to me because, like, that is a staple of MMOs, just on PC.
And when we asked the developers that question, they very much kind of leaned towards, yes, it will be coming. The answer there was a lot less like, we're worried about interactions. It was much more like, hey, this is coming. And it was almost like a look like, oh man, that's not.
Can we talk about that? I don't know.
It's like, hey guys, meeting right after this. By the way, we need to talk about clan chat. But so it's a bummer to see that was not in the build that I played. Hopefully, it'll make it in for launch. Because certainly, at the very least, it could be like, hey, Destin, get on Discord, even if there's no avenue through voice communication.
Which is how you'll have to do it.
Yeah, and then
we've got a solution for that too.
Yeah, there is a Discord solution, except they did that thing where you have to run in windowed mode if you want to also like use some of the Discord functionality, which is unfortunate.
That's plugin stuff and all, but you can still use Discord on your desktop.
Yeah, you can. I think it's a little unfortunate that they restricted it to the point that you can't use that.
Yeah, in-game chat would have been cool. I actually, I haven't really played much of WoW. So they added all these features of linking to gear and stuff, and that's where
even
I would have been excited.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, if you're playing World of Warcraft, I can link you through Battle.net fact that I got Mida.
Like, I would love to, hey, let's play, link to my profile, or just linking to gear. What is that? And it's this, or pull up KD of people.
Right.
Stuff like that would have been really nice to have the game.
What you can do is you can talk to your fire team, you can whisper people, and then you can talk to just your team. So if you join a Crucible match, you can just slash team and then type to your team, hey guys, WTF are you doing? I hate you all,
That's not a whisper.
Team shot.
So that's not one of my rates.
So everybody will see team chat just for your own team.
Again, you have to hit enter. So I would have to stop what I'm doing, hit enter, get headshot, and be like, oh, well, I'm happy to see that, you have to take a bio break.
You hit enter first, is what you're saying.
You have to hit enter, I believe, to see the chat come up.
There has to be a way that you could leave it.
That enables it.
I see.
There has to be a way you can leave it.
Anyway. There's work to be done there.
There's work to be done. Certainly clan chat, I would assume, would be added and should be added. And I think that we'll see a gut-wrench reaction from the community about general chat. Obviously, there's some Blizzard
games.
They're
going to be real level-headed and, talk about it constructively.
Sure.
And,
just like the Reddit.
Yes. Yeah. Positive solution.
I mean, Discord is pretty ingrained in Destiny's DNA, though, right now. There's a lot of people I know that interact with people. But it'd be interesting because I don't know what the PC space
Discord's
is like.
Great.
So, yeah, it is really good. But
Yeah, and I think the other thing that we should talk about here is the new player experience. Obviously, a lot of developers and publishers recently have become phobic of players getting into their game, having a negative experience outside of the context of something they can control, like me saying something terrible to you in general chat, and you see something, you're like, wow, I don't even want to play this game anymore.
From friend.
But yeah. Let's talk about also the real world implications of a new player who is looking for a group, right? Now I have to pursue out of game avenues. And that is something that Bungie has no control over. They have no control over Reddit, message boards, things like Discord.
Stuff, yeah.
So they should provide largely, an avenue.
I agree completely with what you're saying. The point that you're making that Bungie should be providing these tools. The community has kind of taken it upon themselves to build it.
Yeah.
For good. The player base, but it's unfortunate that that's the case.
Yeah, like transferring items, like all that stuff we've been asking for years, but yeah.
And I don't think guided games is the solution. I think it's an interesting proposition, and it's something cool that they are pursuing, but it is very much let's keep it in our ecosystem and do it the way we want to do it, which is doing things like not enabling this multitude of experiences.
It's a very high bar. Like,
I
like
it
is. I
still need to try to hop into a raid with guided game. Yeah. Sorry, friend.
Well, it takes – I mean, if you're going to do a guided game, you'll be fine. But if you're waiting, there's a wait time. But,
supposedly, it's very bad.
But that's what I think.
Launch,
yeah, it's still better. Really long wait time. Right. So, I mean, I didn't check in the recent days. But I think the point is it needs to be stuff in the game. That's what we're getting at, from chat to the clan invites to invites to raids. Like, you need more in chat, because if you have to use Discord, it's like one more barrier, right? And I think I agree with all that. It just would be very nice, especially inviting people to like group up and play.
Sure.
The fact that those tool sets still are, you know, they're just not there yet. It's too bad.
I think for the PC player base, Discord being a barrier, I think that's a little bit of a strong claim. I feel like it's so ingrained into the PC player base now that it's just pretty
right.
It's
like maybe,
standard. It's just like, do you have Discord? Yeah, of course.
Yeah. It's you're like, I'd rather use it. I don't want to use the function.
Yeah.
All right, let me provide a hypothetical to you where you're about to jump into a raid and your sixth member just can't do it. They have something come up, and now out of your ecosystem, nobody else is on clan, and you're looking for one random player. That's an emergent experience. Sure. That's an emergent experience where players who are just chilling in the social space at the right time could make an in with not just a single person, but a group, a clan, and then have a team to roll with through all the game's content, and maybe form some friends for life. And
you're describing guided games.
I'm describing guided games, but who is going to do that? Who's like, okay, I guess we'll queue up as where I
for
can just be like, enter LF1M, Kallus, 280 plus gear score, or
the traditional experience that we've seen in a lot of MMOs, like World of Warcraft, when somebody just goes in general chat, like, hey, I'm looking for one more, et cetera, et cetera. Do you think it's a moderation issue? Do you think it's just like, look, we have 2 million concurrents. We do not have the manpower to moderate that kind of activity.
Yeah, but I think you can solve for it. I mean, like, the most toxic game I've ever played is League of Legends, to the point where it turned me off to the game. And I could totally understand why you would just want not to do that with your game.
But you
have to understand the context through which players are communicating. League of Legends incites this toxic behavior from the get-go with this, no, I should have played that character. I'm better than you with that character. Destiny is not a game like that. Destiny is not a game where you need to be filling a role that you were going to be much better at somebody else. And also, I think after you've done the raid a couple times, it's pretty easy to get through it.
Titans.
Sure. All Striker Titans all the time.
Got a bubble.
But so I think that they could be using tools like, you need to go into the settings and enable general chat. Mm-hmm. There are language barriers. Right. There are things that are identifying words that are inappropriate and not allowing you to say them or replacing them with asterisks. This is functionality that has been in games since the early 2000s, if
definitely
not before.
In Blizzard games.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So I think that there are these things that could help that endeavor. Obviously, manpower is still a factor for banning totally toxic players.
Yeah.
But that's a crappy answer, dude. It's like, why can't we have this core functionality? And the answer is, oh, we don't want to hire more people or whatever. It's like, come on.
So I made a World of Warcraft character, and I was trying to be cheeky, so I gave the character sort of a goofy name, and I was playing for 5 minutes before I got banned in World of Warcraft.
really?
Not banned. They made me change the name.
Wow.
I thought it
what
was
did
cute.
You say?
It wasn't anything bad. I
you
know,
can't
clearly.
Tell us.
Should
you're
I just
not
say,
tell us now.
All right. So it was a lady with horns on her head, so I call her Horny Lady.
That's
and
funny.
I thought it was funny.
You
and
were making fun
I got
of dumb
the
names.
Fact that she has horns on her head.
Draina.
But and sure. Anyway, yeah, that.
That's
Draini,
scary,
the Draini.
The
Draini.
Yeah. So I made that, and I got banned instantly in World of Warcraft. And if they're able to use their community to detect something as Well, I thought it was fairly innocent. But if that's not what they want in their game, they identified it immediately. I didn't get banned. They just said, hey, change your name. It's not appropriate.
You're right.
And I was like, okay. Yeah.
But like that example is not, it's a good example, by the way, but it's also not even what we're talking about. It's like, I'm just trying to get people into a raid.
Yeah.
And like, I have to use a browser.
Yeah.
Or I have to have already joined Discord groups, or I have to have some community of people to reach out to, post on a message board or whatever. But I mean, most people do use the LFG websites.
Yeah,
LFG. I think that, I assume that's how most people are still doing it.
Yeah.
guided games I like as a tier, by the way. I do like if you sort of had, think of your gold, silver, and bronze experience. That's like your gold experience probably, and then hopefully the queue times come up, but you're like, it's gonna be good, I'll just wait it out because it's gonna be awesome and I'm gonna win the raid probably,
or maybe it's not because maybe you're one,
I'm being optimistic, it's the gold experience.
You're one guy disconnects and then you get like banned from
I know all right, let's just
go, anyway,
a world where things freaking work and people
just
are
trust
happy.
Your player base
just
at
once.
Some point I think like
playing Destiny so, for 3 years so with LFG. Yeah, we know
it's also a conversation we keep going back to, just matchmaking
struck a nerve here, obviously. Let me finish the point though, which is I still think there's a lot of room for like, I don't know what the solution is in game, but even as simple as just matchmaking, like call it the bronze experience, but it's like you show up in a waiting room with six people and that is the buffer that you all must agree. Somebody may disconnect. This may not be the great experience, blah, blah, but I'll agree to it. So if somebody bounces, like, you can't blame yourself for being mad, but like, it seems to me that's one of the main things they're worried about. Like, they send you in this complex raid and somebody leaves. But if I'm cool with that potentially happening, just let me play, man.
Yeah.
You know?
It's nuts. Like, I hop into Final Fantasy 14, for example, right? And I'm just like, I want to do this encounter. Oh, here's 14 groups looking for somebody. Q. I'm in one. Let's go. Mm-hmm. And it happens so fast.
Yeah.
Sure.
You know?
I think that you cannot assume that your player base is not mentally savvy enough to handle things like choosing specific strikes, distinguishing between different queues, having a fully fleshed out LFG system where you were doing things like score.
Yeah.
Things that are a little bit more intricate and complicated when you have systems as opaque as after 265, Legendaries and Blues have the same level.
Yeah,
have the same like
power, potential level,
light also, power level, whatever.
It's weird.
It becomes totally opaque, and there are things that are opaque and difficult to understand and incomprehensible. And yet, at the same time, there are things that feel like they tacked on these training wheels that prevent you or put you in the straitjacket that prevent you from getting the experience because they are afraid that you are going to somehow confuse yourself. The prime example I want to bring up here is Hearthstone. For the longest time, would not implement more than 9 deck slots, and And there were all these things that were happening that were super complicated in the games. Really. And for the longest time, the excuses were afraid people were going to get confused. That was the running joke in the community.
What?
It's like, yeah.
Oh, 10 card deck? No. What do I do?
And I get that feeling here, too. And Hearthstone, I think, is another good example because that's a game where you cannot chat with your opponent, which I think is a good thing because you are locked into a 20-minute match. Right? With this one person. And if they're toxic, that sucks. But mostly, I think Destiny is a cooperative game and has a lot of potential to make new friends. And that's the whole fantasy, right? That's what Deej was talking about in that post. And to see that they are against general chat because a couple people might get their feelings hurt and need to be reported and eliminate those players who are going to find other ways to be toxic, be it on message boards or whatever, is disappointing.
But to be clear, they didn't say that's why. It's just not there, right? Meaning they didn't admit it was because they said it was the toxicity and all that?
I mean, it was very clear whether I'm paraphrasing or whatever, that was the reason. But again, this is a subject that is open to player feedback. Mm-hmm. I think if the number one, well, I don't know. I think that if everybody is very vocal, the general chat needs to be in the game, they will reconsider. But I also think this is indicative of some of the things that are happening in terms of the end game progression with these nebulous choices that are super simplistic that are actually, instead of giving you a clear path to progression, like being able to choose what Iron Banner armor you want, having to play this gambling thing where you're doing 34 and not getting a single piece of armor leads to a worse experience that is more opaque.
There's a Destin, let's touch the bruise.
We're just talking about not how bad Iron Banner was. We're talking about other stuff today. Before we talk about some of the positive PC things that you have down here, like optimization, solid state drives, I wanted to ask about the aim assist and stuff like that because you kind of touched on it.
Yeah.
We moved past
that's a very divisive subject that I'm actually on Bungie's side here.
Yeah.
So
what? Assist. Whoa. That's one for you, Bungie.
Whoa!
Apologist.
Whoa. He did it. We like the game.
Bungie apologists.
Oh yeah, your check cleared. Your check cleared.
Yeah.
The internet said it cleared.
Oh, I can buy my Ferrari. Great. Yeah. So aim assist is unchanged since beta. It has not changed. They actually messed around with it. Didn't feel good. They brought it back. And I have to say, I agree here. I think in a general chat capacity where there's a lot of positives you are robbing from players because you're preventing a couple negatives, I think this aim assist thing is providing a lot of positives to controller users while not that many people are going to be using XIM, which is the main concern that – and I asked them point blank, how do you feel about XIM in a competitive competitive capacity? Do you think Bungie can maintain a competitive edge with – XIM? And if you don't know, XIM is this adapter that you can plug a keyboard in that basically registers it at a hardware level as a controller, therefore giving you the perks of a controller, which are aim assist. And the answer I got was, we did a lot of work, like I was talking about earlier, getting away from that lazy port of a controller over to a keyboard and mouse.
Yeah.
So when you plug in a keyboard and mouse as a controller, you get that bad experience, albeit with the bonus of aim assist.
Mm-hmm.
Also, there is lower recoil if you are using a mouse and keyboard, and higher recoil if you are using a controller. So
basically, if you do that, you almost will be at a disadvantage?
No, because I think ultimately, like keyboard, even if it's kind of crappy ported keyboard with an adapter, keyboard and mouse with aim assist is very powerful. And if it becomes a rampant issue in Crucible, I could see them potentially disabling it in Crucible. But I am on their side when, unlike Overwatch, which is at its heart a competitive multiplayer shooter first, this is a game that is dual-pronged with its PvP and PvE. And a lot of people from console are going to want to be coming over to play PvE in a 60 FPS environment or higher, do the raid, do that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And to have to be unproficient with a mouse and keyboard, I feel for them. Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. Sorry, he's talking about me directly.
So you like that it supports controllers, aim assist, and the keyboard and mouse feel good, right? So,
And here's the thing. So you mentioned the word competitive, and this is where I think, again, comparing it to Overwatch or anything else, Destiny right now is like, it's a competitive game from a standpoint of I'm competing with you, but it's not competitive. There are no private matches. So the word competitive right now, I think, is a bit of a confusing word to use with Destiny because it's not trying to be a competitive shooter per se at the moment. Where
sort of trials.
Again, you can't do it offline. It's on the server. Like right now, until private matches come along.
I get what you're
competitive,
saying.
Competitive, like as in.
They can't do a tournament easily.
Right.
They need Bungie support, basically.
Yes. Right. But I mean, I think that's it depends on what bothers you. Yeah. Like, I mean, if you lose trials because you feel like someone was cheating with Tim there, then.
Yeah.
That will be the go-to excuse.
I have a strong feeling. That's XIM. Detectable.
XIM, yeah.
Well, it wasn't able to be detected during the Overwatch beta to the point where they had to remove aim assist entirely from controllers.
I remember. Really?
So I don't, if Blizzard can't figure it out.
Yeah.
I don't know.
All right.
Yeah. And I'm glad it's there because it's interesting to hear you say that. I was the one who got flamed really hard saying, hey, I'm going to PC. I'm using a controller. But I'm still excited to do that. And so which controller did you play with?
It was the DualShock. The PS4 one. And
Wow. All right.
Wow. Yeah. I was expecting
an
Elite.
That's new support. But most. I play with Xbox.
I was going to say an Xbox
controller overall.
An Xbox Elite controller.
So to me, it felt just like the console version.
It's because of their partnership.
60 FPS.
Right. That's awesome.
And that was good because on keyboard and mouse, it felt great. It felt like it was made for the PC. And then plugging in controller, it just felt like a console version.
They would have been like, hey, we brought PS4 controller. They'd be like, no, I'm good. And I want to take it on my Elite Xbox. And plug it in.
Yeah, I think that's the thing. Like, I'm concerned about that competitive negative situation where it becomes rampant and it's a problem that you're losing in trials and you're like, clearly that dude had aim assist and was cheating the system, but with the benefit of
the
mouse and keyboard.
That's what I'm saying.
As much as I'm worried about that, I think if you break it down into the percentages of people it affects and stuff, I think there's an argument to be made. Like, there's a lot of people who just want to play with the controller and get a great feel, and plenty of people who will play with a mouse and keyboard who aren't worried about those things.
Yeah.
So I think we've got to see how it plays out is my only point. I'm not saying.
And purchased.
All right. Oh, you just spent $140. It's not sure like it's a $20 adapter, I'd like to point out. This is a significant investment for the average gamer. So
and that's what I'm saying.
For a feature.
Done.
Yeah, we should.
But to me, it's like if you're going to PC, though, you obviously want some of those details like uncapped frame rate and all that stuff. But you go in there expecting that the competition's going to be on mouse and keyboard. Like, I'm not going.
Yeah, you already do.
Hey, you know, you shouldn't be using a mouse and keyboard because I'm on a controller.
Funny you say that. Because
you can,
players use controller for different
types. Battlefield 1 is a game that allows both controller with aim assist and keyboard and mouse. And I was in this press event with a bunch of influencers, and I was kicking butt which feels really good when you're like a conventional press guy and you're in there with YouTubers who are playing all the time.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh my God, I recognize your name. Get wrecked. But this one guy in particular just kept killing me and I could not win a 1v1. And at the end of the match, he went controller master race.
Oh, yeah. What was he using? Was he hand cannons or was he?
No, this was Battlefield.
This is Battlefield. Oh, wait, he was on a controller.
Yeah. At the event.
Or trolling.
At the event. Yeah, he definitely could have been trolling, but I think he was serious because he mentioned
he was controlling.
If he was trolling.
CJ, you're all good to go. I know CJ wants to be that guy, by the way.
I will.
He wants to prove to everyone that he's going to be the best controller player ever in Destiny.
There were a couple folks at the event using controller in Crucible. Not a problem killing them, but that could be a skill thing.
Yeah. Yeah, and honestly, your control setup is super important.
It's hard for me to do it.
Your control setup is super important, but in Destiny, especially Trials, it is not the only thing that you need to worry about. Like, meaning team communication, do you have a Mida? You know, like these things are important. Call outs. So like, sweet MLG call outs for me. So see how it plays out.
Do you have a res token?
I'm actually curious. go around the table. Who is concerned about the XIM situation, knowing all these facts?
Honestly, not
just sort of a yes or no.
Sort of. I'm wishy-washy on the answer, to be frank, just because I don't know how much of an impact it's going to have until we see launch.
Okay.
So, like, it could be a non-issue.
That's right. Yeah. And you?
To me, it's an issue if you're talking competitive matches offline where you're in tournaments with the game being online and playing the way we play it. No, it's like you go into there knowing what it is.
Duggan?
I mean, I made my stance clear. I think it provides more benefits than it does detriments. But with that said, if it becomes a big problem for the competitive community who are playing expressly PvP and take it very seriously, I would totally be on the side of let's take it out of Crucible.
It's funny. I think we're all on the same page. That's what I was saying. Like, I'm concerned, but let's see how it plays out before, you know, we freak out. And then you wouldn't have some of these other benefits, like playing with a controller. I would like to try.
Overwatch, they had to gut it out. We'll see what happens with Destiny.
Because hand cannons right now, honestly, even in Destiny on console, it's a very big difference because there's lower aim assist. So if there was no aim assist on a controller with hand cannons, like, I already can't. Yeah, like, I can't use them now almost in Destiny 2.
You're so good on mouse and keyboard. I don't know what it is, man.
Actually, everybody shoot says yourself that in the face, the recoil.
And I was like, whoa! But I've heard that. I've heard from mouse and keyboard users that they loved hand cannons on PC, and I just don't understand what the difference is and how it correlates.
I wish I could, too, because I feel it doesn't, like, you can almost cross-map somebody and bring them down in two headshots.
But see, like, is the range higher? Like, they confirm the tuning's the same.
I did not believe you, and then I watched the footage and I'm like, that's a lot of distance. I have to edit it in.
But like,
let's stop referencing specific shots.
If rate of fire and range has not changed, none of the tuning, it does not make sense still, other than really being able to snap and aim very quickly. And actually what I would say is, if you're on PC, right, can't you, the recoil is way less. So maybe that might be it right there. The fact that you can react to recoil so much faster, right?
Well, so the animation recoil is still nuts with the hand cannon. Like, you are losing the aim down sights a bit, but
you can adjust.
Thing,
but you basically
you
don't aim
feel.
Down
you just feel the center of your screen. By the way, another very important distinction, the reticle is just dead center in the screen all the time for PC unless you plug a controller in. I think, is one of the reasons why it feels better. But anyway, with the hand cannon, you just get to the sweet spot where you know where it's going to
Where it's going to be.
You even pull the
trigger. So I think that's,
and it's very easy to execute.
Yeah. Easier to predict that landing spot.
And before you go on, Bloom, that's another thing, because Bloom is in the game when you jump and do all that stuff. So those are undetectable stats that it's hard to quantify. So that's why with it changing between mouse and keyboard and controller, I wonder how those little details affect how it is.
This episode is coming out on a Monday. We're going to have access shortly. We can dissect this and talk about it on the show after we've all had some time together. We've been talking about a lot of the stuff that we're concerned about on PC, but I wanted to reiterate some of the cool stuff. You also talked about how fast it loads on an SSD.
Yeah, it's disgusting. Like, there's hardly time if you're just going to a social space for your ship to appear in orbit before it's already. And I'm very excited for that. I'm going to be loading it up on an SSD. And even for the big stuff like Nessus, it is a hugely significant load.
Nessus D.
Nessus.
I wonder how landing,
two for two today.
I wonder how landing at the tower is going to go on PC. Hopefully flawless.
You would assume flawless.
Yeah.
That's really cool. I mean, it's funny that they kind of have improved load times with changing orbit, but I'm pretty excited by that.
That's good, man.
Just think of all the time
there
we
for
spend.
So long.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what would
all right, the mission's starting.
Like, if you go from the tower to straight to Nessus, like, if you had to estimate, how fast does that feel to you?
So once you get into the atmosphere, I think that's maybe 15 seconds or less. And then going from Nessus to the tower is like, pouring up, atmosphere, and then straight into it.
Like, we will make that comparison video to reference then.
I'm just going
to
be like, Illegal Mod, you better have an SSD.
We'll make
one
the
of my
comparison
friends on PC. Yeah.
That's cool.
General optimization. It sounds like it's fantastic.
Yes. Yeah, we talked a lot about that. There's a very built-out menu system. Again, actually, one of the biggest takeaways for me was the VSync, how great it felt.
Yeah.
How low latency and input delay it felt. Just how, I'm probably going to play it locked 60 with VSync because it looks and feels really good.
And you can do that at 4K if you choose to.
Yeah, everything I captured was in 4K 60 or higher FPS. And again, the way that you enable the higher FPS is by turning VSync off completely, which just uncaps the frame rate. Yeah. But another really cool thing is you can actually go into the configuration file and set a hard limiter
that's cool.
Or
24.
So if you're somebody who has one of those mid-range PCs where you're like drifting between 40 and 60 and it just bothers you and you would just prefer it at a steady 45.
Oh, I didn't even think about that. Like if you're only getting, say, around 45 and you want it, you just want it from dropping up.
Right.
Down.
I would rather have consistent 35 or whatever FPS. That's something you can do.
I like it.
That's cool.
We can make that.
That's great. Because frame rate variation, I think, is one of the biggest things you want to avoid.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to play at 30, but there's nothing worse than you're at 30 and then it's bouncing up and down. Like, it just starts to annoy you. So that's a cool feature.
Let's lock it at 60.
The cutscenes, I don't know if we talked about this. Cutscenes are locked at 30, literally unplayable. I don't care at all.
For cinematic, that's good.
Luckily, there is that skip button.
Yeah, we knew that. We knew that.
Oh, 30!
I didn't watch a single.
Get out of here.
Actually, I had asked this, I don't know if you noticed or confirmed, but are the cutscenes at a higher resolution or bit rate?
That's a good question. Seemed lower quality than the actual game, so I would imagine they're the same.
All right, we'll check, because last time
they're
asked...
They're probably 4K 30.
Are they 4K res,
though? Whatever they were on PS4.
I mean, they were like 1080p or whatever, so... we'll find out, but Beanie, that was an important question, like, as you translated...
But they put the film grain on it, so...
Yeah, so... We'll see. When I asked them last, they said, I believe it was Dan Shaw, he's like, I know the answer to that, and I can't tell you. And I was like, okay.
Maybe they're
it sounded exciting.
Difficult to tell. It was certainly lower quality than the actual game. Maybe that was just the 30 FPS.
Lower quality than the PC version of the game. You're phrasing
it.
It's not in 4K
from the sound of it.
Yeah. Most cutscenes don't look better than the game running on. Maybe this is just a PC thing that means too.
Again, we should just close. Like, this episode's happening like.
PC guys, am I right, listeners?
This episode is happening on the heels of the release. We'll have answered half of this stuff within the 24 hours.
Half the things we've said are wrong. No, hopefully not that. That is not the case.
Just what Duggan said.
Another interesting thing to think about from a competitive standpoint and a weapon balance standpoint, I do think eventually they will have to start balancing weapons expressly for the PC environment and the console environment separately.
That would be interesting.
Now, did you say that you asked them that question?
Yeah.
They were open to that. They already confirmed they were open to that. I remember.
What they did say that I thought was very reassuring was originally that was not technically possible, but we did work to make sure it now is. So if they decide to go down that route, that's something they can do. And the reason why that would be an issue is because things like recoil and the hidden aim assist stat that are different on different weapons that people prefer over their like competitors, like the 450 ARs for Crucible, why this one is better than that one, that could change on PC because you're not concerned about aim assist if you're on unassisted mouse and keyboard, and recoil is not as bad.
I was just thinking about, did you get to use Last Hope?
Everybody wanted
it.
Dang.
I want to know with the recoil and everything, if that thing wrecks even more, man.
Sure. I feel like recoil was most noticeable on...
You did have a sidearm,
yeah,
I believe, in your footage. I don't know if it was Last Hope, though. It was a three-burst.
Again, a question we will answer.
Well, yeah, and what will be interesting to see if everything right now is equal across the board, does a new meta emerge on PC that's totally different than the console?
Hand cannons.
I think it will. Yeah.
That'd be cool.
I'd be very surprised if it wasn't hand cannons. Yeah. But hey, look, maybe it'll still be Mida. Who knows?
Get your Mida.
I would put my money on hand cannons personally.
Yeah.
That's about everything that we wanted to cover for the pre-PC launch of Destiny 2. Thank you so much, Duggan, for going to the event, putting out your preview. You're going to have a preview out and a bunch of videos that people can watch and see for yourself.
My pleasure.
Of course, thank you for watching the show. Anything else we want to talk about before we head out?
I just can't wait to see a lot of the stuff, in just this quality. Like you didn't get to see it all, right? You didn't get to raid.
No, it looks very
good. I can't wait to see the raid.
I was trying to do a very elite run through of the Pyramidian. So I could post it on YouTube and people will be like, who is this guy playing? He's good, blah, blah, blah. But I just got distracted by the skybox because it looked beautiful in 4K, uncapped frame rate or 60 or whatever I was locked
at. Show me, you looked up and I was like, you can see the
I do it like three or four more times because I just can't get enough of it.
I mean, it really is one of the best looking PC games out there.
Yeah.
It really is, right?
It looks very good. I'd have to
I know that's a big qualifier, but when you think, like, roughly speaking, it's pretty.
It looks really good.
Their art is pretty awesome.
Yeah, so it is acceptable.
What'll be cool is if the raid eventually ends up turning into one of these places that you visited before. That often has happened where you see the opening to the raid and you're like, oh, I've been here. And then that happens later on. This time it was, you flew over to, Leviathan. You're off on a completely different planet. You know, they've always had before where it's like, oh, this is the opening on Venus. So this is, you know, the opening.
That reminded me of something that we should very briefly touch on, which is the release cadence. This is a very important detail that I can't believe I didn't write down, but, they confirmed
when the raid's coming.
When the raid is coming for PC, it will be launching at approximately the same interval the console received
for
initial launch. So it's not all going to be there. Like, I'm not going to be able to go in day one.
Do everything.
They didn't want a scenario where...
They put it in their PC release trailer. That's kind of messed up.
Well, I don't think so. Because the reasoning for that was we don't want it to be who can grind the fastest to the raid and
why
do it
not?
Without sleeping. I know. That's traditional. Yeah. That would be a great PC, like... Start because that's how
treating them as brand new players. To be fair,
right. But conversely to that, DLC drops from that point onwards after they've gotten that initial buffer zone will be day of on console and PC at the same.
That's good. Okay. So I don't know why they made a decision to stagger it out just so people don't kill themselves.
Dude,
I don't want to
stay up for 96 hours to get the raid first. Like screw that.
Yeah. Well, don't
have
do
a
that
good time. But I have to if they.
But you need the next round.
No, that's good though because I think it gives people like a start date. It's the roadmap. Everybody wants it ahead of time. You know that's
fine. Bungie's great. I agree with all their decisions.
No. Well, you think that if they released everything and be like, okay, here you go. It's like trials and the raid and everything day one. That
would be fun. I would
really
like a plan with my friends. Like, hey. Let's shoot for Friday. Let's get a character
I don't think
ready
there's a right or wrong on that one. Like it, like
I don't know.
I remember complaining. I didn't want everything on day one. It's just too much. Now it's a little different because I've already played it. But imagine being in the situation again. You've been waiting for Destiny 2.
Yeah.
And I just made everybody's flying by you and doing stuff, and you feel pressured to stay up for 96 hours. Meaning, I don't think it's fair to those people
then
who
you
want
get the
pace.
Team disparity.
Yeah. Like I was
100%.
Flashback smash cut to me saying, "Why are they releasing trials so soon?" And blah blah blah. Like I think to be fair to the audience that has been waiting, I think that's totally a fine plan. Plus, there's the services. Like, they have to keep all the servers up and blah, blah, blah. Yeah. So I don't know if it's realistic to launch, like, everything at moment one.
That's good. To
hard
me, it's
raid,
like,
whatever. You know, it's a lot.
I would not be saying, hey, let's attempt a world's first on a raid. Like, I actually now, knowing that, would like to. Oh, I beat you, Destin. It's okay.
Everybody thinks Bungie's perfect.
No.
They made all the right decisions.
At least with this, I'm glad that everything's not launching day one, the day the game comes out on PC.
I wanted it day one.
No. Did you really?
I wanted the stamp. No.
Okay. Go
well, on. I mean, kind of. I would have liked the option to go into the raid. When I saw it in the trailer, I was like,
really?
Oh, cool.
You
I
will.
Can go into the raid
like a week
as
later,
I can
dude.
Get there.
Yeah.
So that I grind. Yeah. It's like,
if you know,
it's
like two you know how many people would die?
I was going to say, we want you
that's
alive.
Yeah. One final
all
detail
press, good press, right?
For anybody who's watching this and thinking, man, I want to get in on the PC version.
Please don't die playing Destiny.
I asked them about transferring characters over from the console. And they said they got asked about it a lot. And Shaw's answer was, we have nothing to announce at this time, but it's something that I would love to see in the game.
Yes.
However, counterpoint, my preface was like, as somebody who's PC, both politically correct and plays on a PC, a personal computer, I want a situation where I'm coming into a game fresh and I don't have to see somebody with an emblem that I can never get.
Mm. All right.
But that's just me. I think, again, that's one of those trade-off situations where...
How'd you get it? I was there.
I was there.
Launch Destiny.
You don't like that?
30 FPS. No, I don't like that.
You don't like the sweet beta emblem that I got?
I love the sweet beta. Like,
I don't
want to
quit that
I'm
stuff.
Just kidding. I do.
Maybe five people.
I would, man. But I'm all about that, like, OCD completionist stuff and the idea that it's...
Oh, I know. I made a spreadsheet.
I just don't
I
like when there would be something that is coming through a platform that this is my start time and this is starting fresh and somebody else has something. Obviously...
That's a
small price to pay for people.
Yeah, I like to be rewarded for those things. And
this
it
is a big
you,
topic, guys. So. I don't feel like we can do it justice today, so let's save it for another show. We can revisit it
fine.
Later.
Fine. Post the show.
Yeah.
Your decision.
We got to wrap it up. We're over on time, but thank you so much again, Duggan, for stopping by the show. And thank you guys for being on.
No problem.
Thanks, PC Doug.
Your handsome self.
Jealous.
Yeah. All right. So that's it for this episode. Until next time, everybody,
Guardians out.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it. Or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz and how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.